Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For me, accountability is consequences and, you know, actions. If you're not doing right things on the ice, there needs repercussions, whether it's being benched or in the press box. If you're not playing winning hockey, and I think consistency is the other thing. I think at times you could see that we were a great team and other times we're too casual. That's something that has got to be instilled in us with the consistency. It's us in here in the room holding each other accountable if there's someone not playing the way they need to, and obviously needs to come from up top too. And that's something I don't think we had enough of this year.
Fascinating comments from the locker room there, including the likes of Tage Thompson, as the Buffalo Sabres were cleaning out their lockers, but also dismissing their head coach in Don Granato. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman here with you as we get things going for hour number two. Thanks to Greg Thompson of Cover One joining us in the last segment there. And with the Sabres, it is just that, like, those were such fascinating comments, though, about the accountability and whether it's the players in the room and they were owning up to it, but also, even when they were owning up to those mistakes, almost every single comment seemed like a rather large indictment on the coaching staff.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of it stems from, I don't want to say it stems from this, but you see a lot of the comments being, you know, we need to be more accountable. I saw a lot about we need needing to practice harder. And it's very funny that those are the comments after Casey Mittelstadt goes to Colorado. And the first thing he's saying is that, you know, we're practicing harder than I've ever practiced in the NHL and all this stuff. So I think that was, I don't want to say it was eye-opening to guys, but it was definitely something that guys noticed, and maybe they're looking at their own habits or what's going on inside. But one way or the other, the message wasn't able to get across, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's just, and I had put something up on this on Twitter a couple days ago when those comments were being made, and I thought it was fascinating. And there were some, there was some pushback on it, like, why aren't the players able to hold themselves accountable? Have you ever been in a bad workplace leader, like in a bad workplace where the like leadership is just like, eh, or like, we don't care, whatever? That's kind of what it is, or what it sounds like to me, is that the higher ups don't really care if you screwed up on your job that day, and there was no repercussions, there was no talking to you, and or not you, or like your coworkers, and like you want to pull your hair out because Becky keeps screwing up 18 times a day, and it's the same 18 mistakes every time, and you want to go insane, but they don't do anything about it. And this happens every single day. And you can call them out about it, but it doesn't, but there's no discipline from the top. And that's what I think I would relate it to. And the other part of it is, am I really going to be surprised that young players, yes, they've played in the NHL for several seasons now, but a 21 or 22-year-old is going to have the full definition of accountability in practice, not just in theory, when they're used to being the best players on their respective ice heading into the NHL? No. I'm not going to expect that. It's okay. But now, it's another reset button. It's another head coaching search for the Buffalo Sabres, and now is probably the better time than ever to head to the Wester Hotline as we get Rachel Hotmeyer from Spectrum News on the Wester Hotline here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon, Rachel. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
You know, the sky just started turning gray as we're beginning to talk about the hockey team. So take that for what you will.
Just fantastic.
So obviously, Rachel, the Sabres, they finished their season, no playoffs, and a bit of a disappointing season to say the least after the emergence that happened a couple years back here. However, now also coming with the cost of the Sabres need a new head coach after dismissing Don Granato.
Yeah, and it seems like the team is moving pretty quickly on that front. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a new bench boss in the next week or two, to be honest with you. You know, these things happen. Kevin Adams said that it was his decision to let Granato go, even though he consulted Terry Pegula and others around him in the front office. But at the end of the day, something was going to have to give after this season. And I think the players also did a pretty good job of recognizing that it's not Granato's fault that they ended up in this situation. There are many contributing factors. But either way, the work is definitely cut out for the next guy.
Yeah, and the players definitely brought up that accountability was a factor, you know, with everything that was going on. What do you make of those comments with the accountability from guys like Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin and wanting that out of their next coach and the qualities they want out of their next coach?
Yeah, it was very interesting to watch as kind of a theme, honestly. After the first day of locker room clean out, I almost did like a Sesame Street style stand-up. Like, the word of the day was clearly accountability. Love a buzzword to use. But ultimately, I think it can refer to many areas where that sort of bled out. And it's not like Granato didn't try to hold them accountable, because it did get to points where he shortened the bench or had guys take a break to sit up in the press box. Joki Haru, it happened to. Owen Power, it happened to. Just guys that needed a bird's eye view of the game and to be taken out of it. But I think messaging is also a big part of that. And in order to get these guys to maybe understand the direction they were going in, he phrased it in a more supportive way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We can talk for 45 minutes about how coaching players today is not the same as it was 20 years ago, just with how we are as a society. But at the end of the day, what Granato was able to give them was the confidence to actually find a lot of their core games that I don't think they would have gotten to at this point if they had been being yelled at and having a boot put up their back to get to this point. So there are so many avenues that when all these players are so raw, developmentally, still in the thick of things when they're coming into this system, whereas you see other NHL teams who do a lot more of that development at the lower levels. But when you had such raw talent here, Granato went about it the way he did, and now the players are ready to be pushed a little harder.
Rachel, of course, you made mention of something, though, that based off of Kevin Adams' comments, how they're moving very quickly with this head coaching search. And this, unfortunately, puts one tear in my eye, because my pie-in-the-sky idea was Rob Brind'Amour. Obviously, connections with him being in Carolina. But the way that they're moving very quickly here, who would you suspect are some of the presumptive targets with this rapid coaching search?
Yeah, you know, Kevin has made it clear that they want someone, he used the term pedigree, but with NHL coaching experience. You could throw a lot of names in there. Obviously, Lindy Ruff is one of them. I was not here for his time, but he's also no stranger to the area in the offseason, even when he's been with other teams such as the New Jersey Devils. So that's definitely someone people love to throw out there. There's Berube, there's Gallant. It's just the reality of the market right now. I just don't simply think Adams wants to wait for the playoffs to end in order to make a hiring like Rod Brind'Amour. I also think he's a cool coach, and it definitely intrigues me as a character to put in the room. But at the end of the day, Sabres are working on their own timeline here. So there are plenty of names you could throw out there just based on who's in the market, who wants this job. But it's all about how they're going to fit with what the Sabres say their direction is.
Now, Rachel, I know this is a bit, probably getting a bit ahead of the game, but how important is it in the coaching search, do you think, for Kevin Adams when he's talking to coaches? How important do you think the assistants that whoever the prospective coach is going to be, how important is that? We know that the Sabres had issues on the power play this year. Last year, they had issues on the penalty kill. They can't seem to get the special teams right for both sides of it. So how much is the coaching search in terms of looking for complementary pieces for things to fix the power play and things of that nature?
Yeah, that'll definitely be part of the discussion, because some of the staff that has been retained might not be in their same roles that they've been the last few years. I could see Ellis moving into a different role, still on staff, still consulting with those type of things, but maybe in a different facet of the game, maybe moving into a more player development or behind the scenes role. It could happen to anyone that's still stayed on. I think they're really looking at it from all aspects here. And if they have coaches that trust their other assistants that they have worked with over the years and say, I want to come in this guy and install this and do this and that, I don't really know that Kevin's in a position to say no to that right now and not shake things up a little bit. So who the Sabres kept as of now is staying, but there's definitely plenty of fluidity behind that.
Rachel, when it comes to further questions within the locker room, leadership, anything else of the sort there, a couple of the names that obviously are the first to come up here, being Rasmus Dahlin and Alex Tuch, probably the two favorites for a suspected future Sabres captain. Being around the room, who would you think, more or less, this could be a tougher question for someone with a relationship in the locker room like that, but seeing them more often than others, who would you think probably has the favorites, I would say, to more or less be wearing the C and being the ones to be kind of the new face of the franchise as a captain going forward here?
Yeah, I think both Alex and Rasmus would make great candidates. They both have very specific passions and work ethics that set them apart, and how much they dedicate themselves to their own games, to the franchise. There's a lot going for both of them. I think a lot of people forget Dahlin's age and just how much has been put on his plate already as a leader in this room. Him and I first sat down when he was given the A full time just to talk about how much responsibility has really been given and expected of him. There wasn't too much of a choice there, but he's thrived in that. And I also think he has continued to grow in the right direction in that process. So I think both of them would be great, but maybe instead of picking a favorite, I'll give you a dark horse candidate that I think a lot of people on the outside just don't know much about him being a leader. And I would say Dylan Cousins in that aspect. He, first of all, has my respect for the way he goes about things, especially considering the adversity he went through this year and the way he's owned it and talked about his game. Just a lot of, you know, stick taps for me on that end. But as a leader in the room, he's kind of a quiet candidate to the outside. But he speaks his mind when he has to and really puts his head down and grinds and inspires a lot in that room. So that's my dark horse.
So I want to switch over. Obviously, coaching is going to be the focus, but on the back end, Kevin Adams has more of a job to do in terms of the roster over the summer. Some guys are going to be leaving. You've got four unrestricted free agents in Victor Olofsson, Zemgus Girgensson, Tyson Yost, and Eric Robinson, and also some restricted free agents as well. The one I'm looking at mainly is Henri-Jokke Harju there, and also Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So Kevin Adams has his work cut out for roster decisions. In terms of the unrestricted guys, is there anybody you think that might be coming back, or are the Sabres kind of ready to turn the page on those guys and bring in some fresh new faces?
Yeah, I definitely think you should expect Zemgus Girgensson to come back unless something changes. I think there's just a lot of mutual understanding there.
Yeah.
But I also think as they've let other grittier veteran aspects of the lineup go, that I just think he will be a mainstay. He's definitely deserved the chance to stay and continue his career here if that's what he wants, given how loyal he's been to this franchise. You know, that some other UFAs, I would see them keeping Eric Robinson. There were things he was able to do in the lineup that other players weren't, just like how we saw Jacob Bryson stick around because of his excelling in transition compared to what the rest of the guys were doing. So I think he sticks around. I wouldn't be shocked if Victor Olofsson is elsewhere next year. He's a wonderful guy. Really respect him as someone who covered him, but I think it couldn't get done last year, and this is an easy breaking point for Victor to pursue opportunities that would be better for him, not just for the Sabres, but he deserves an opportunity where he can work on his game more consistently rather than sporadic times in the lineup. So in terms of UFAs, that's what I have my eye on. And then, of course, there are plenty of pending guys like Krebs, you said Luukkonen, you know, guys that don't know what they're doing for Worlds because of this contract situation. Mm-hmm. So some of those might get worked out relatively quickly. Krebs could be one of those guys that gets worked out quickly, but it's messy, you could say.
You also just mentioned Jacob Bryson, and I didn't mention him in the list of players that I had, but I thought Jacob Bryson looked terrific in spot duty this year, especially after the trade deadline. He had more of a mainstay in the lineup as a third pairing defenseman. Are the Sabres going to try to bring him back as a seventh, or maybe try to keep him as a sixth? I thought as a seventh defenseman, he looked really good in being able to come into the lineup whenever.
Yeah, I agree. And part of, I think, his ready ability or coachability in that aspect as a seventh defenseman is, again, what a lot of this roster went through this year as it was being managed and tended day in and day out to accommodate three goalies for such a long period of time was getting used to the fact that they were then forced into more fringe roles going up and down. And he really excelled at kind of minding the mental game of that. I could totally see him sticking around and getting back to those minutes. I could also see a new head coach, if they're given maybe more options on the roster, making their own decision there. So that could really go either way.
Sure.
Rachel, we'll shift a little bit around the NHL here. Obviously, one of the big things, bigger stories from this past year, or from the end of this year, I should say, Arizona losing their hockey team. The debacle of a press conference yesterday with Alex Morello and Gary Bettman. But what are some of your quick hit thoughts here on the situation that happened with Arizona and Utah?
First of all, I guess I'm just wondering how long it's going to take for us to finally see Shane Doan and a group of investors come out and get this thing right, because to someone on the other coast, it seems like that's the right thing to do. We don't hear enough amazing things about Shane Doan, how invested he is in the community and the franchise. Of course, he's brought his son up through the same system and been able to take advantage of that opportunity. But it seems clear to me that Marullo, from someone who has never spoken directly to him, does not have it organizationally together to handle this, if this is how we got here. That press conference was bewildering at best. You know, thank God for video cameras so we can actually see how this whole thing went down. I've heard things that the Suns owner would have liked to get in on the business opportunity, but didn't want anything to do with the mess that had been created. It's unfortunate, really, because I do think hockey belongs and has a place to thrive in what people outside of Canada or the Northeast want to call, quote, non-traditional markets. I mean, it's so ironic that we're having this discussion about the Coyotes as Austin Matthews is trying to reach 70 goals in a regular season. Like, that dichotomy is insane to me.
Arizona's own, that's right.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, it bums me out, truly. I noticed that Scripps would be taking the whatever Utah Yetis, let's call them, team, and broadcasting their games from Utah to Arizona. And even Bettman said in his press conference yesterday, I don't know if that's going to help or hurt. There's probably going to be a lot of people that are bitter about that. And there's probably going to be a lot of people that are at least thankful they can watch this hockey team, because just imagine the outrage if they moved and then couldn't even watch some of these players they've come to know and love. Again, messy, a messy time. The NHL is a soap opera.
Absolutely. And, well, one of its greatest recurring seasons, though, is the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I have to say it. Who would be your favorite go to for hoisting the cup here at the end of it all?
Oh, that's a great question. It is true. I do believe that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best postseason in all of sports, and I think any argument to that is silly at best. Wouldn't it be like funny if this was Toronto's year? Probably not, but like it'd be funny, right?
It'd be funny.
It'd be funny for certain people, I bet.
I don't know how much I'd be laughing, but...
Yeah, it'd be funny if it was just like, oh, and then in the midst of the chaos, probably the least compelling storyline. But I don't know that they're doing it this year. Should I go crazy? Maybe the Islanders?
I mean...
They can't overtime loss their way to a Stanley Cup, unfortunately.
Exactly, right? So I'd have to actually see them get it together. And while I think the Capitals are having fun without meaning to, I don't want to go Florida or Boston because that's lame.
Respect.
Let's go Dallas. Let's have fun. Yeehaw.
All right.
I like it.
Rachel, appreciate what? TJ's
I've
got
one more. I've got one more because...
Yes, he did.
Okay. You know what's coming.
I didn't
clear this with you ahead of time, but
okay,
you are a big oyster girly.
Woo!
Tell me about the best oyster you've ever had in Buffalo.
Ooh, the best oyster I've ever had in Buffalo. You know what? I finally got around to St. Mary's last month. A great Saturday night, if I may recommend to any of you, is to make a late night dinner reservation at Angeline's and then pregame it with some drinks at St. Mary's. You will thank me and dress cute for it. And they have some pretty good oysters, if I do say so myself. They actually brought in some cushies, which are from the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, like Seattle area, if I'm not mistaken. And if you've never tried West Coast oysters, I highly recommend. They actually have sort of a melon finish to end on them, a honeydew. And the shells are gorgeous, and I just love the little shells, of course. And there are many differences we could talk about structurally between East Coast and West Coast oysters, but if you're looking to try something new, they did a pretty good job with the shuck as well. So 10 out of 10 for my latest Buffalo oyster experience.
Very cool. Just to put out there for everybody, if you are interested in all of Rachel's thoughts on oysters, you can follow her on Instagram at I Don't Give a Shuck.
I love oysters. They're also fabulous sources of iron and protein, and I think people don't notice that enough. They're also really important to keep our oceans and waterways clean because they are natural water filters.
Love this. I'm learning so much right now.
We should
have you on for more oyster talk, honestly. I'm glad anytime, I got that
in. Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Okay.
Sports Oyster Saturday. Got it. Rachel, thank you for joining us here. Give a little plug of where everyone can follow you, not just for your oyster takes, your Sabres takes, or anything else going on in the world.
Yeah, I'm at Rachel Hopmeyer on all platforms, HOPMAYER. You can always find me tweeting, posting, yapping. You know, the kids like to call kids who talk too much in class these days yappers. So I guess put me in that category, textbook yapper.
Rachel, thank you again, and We'll be sure to talk soon.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you. That's Rachel Hopmeyer of Spectrum News joining us there on the West Her Hotline as the Sabres begin another coaching search. As painful as it is to say, it's something that probably needed to happen. We'll get a little bit more into some details here with the Sabres, but also hopping back and forth between these two teams here today, between the Bills and the draft. Sabres in the coaching search, Coyotes, NHL playoffs, whatever you've got, 803-0550 is the number to call. To jump in here on a Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, you're listening to WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.